Well, we are going to move immediately now to music by Kyle Smith, my first guest, as performed by The Crossing, conducted by my second guest, Donald Nally. Just listening to Why Did They All Shout, the opening section from The Ark in the Sky by American composer Kyle Smith. The Ark in the Sky by Kyle Smith is a 65-minute work for unaccompanied choir, which was just released by Navona Records. In our performance, you heard The Crossing, conducted by Donald Nally. Well, I am honored today to be joined by both composer Kyle Smith and conductor of The Crossing, Donald Nally. Welcome, guys.
It's great to be here.
How you doing, Marvin?
I'm good, just to prove they're both really here. Between now and 11 a.m., we will be listening to sections from The Ark in the Sky by Kyle Smith, as well as a few other pieces featuring The Crossing, conducted by Donald Nally. We will be talking to Kyle Smith in just a little while. For now, though, let us turn our attention to the conductor of the crossing, Donald Nally. Donald Nally is conductor of the professional new music choir, The Crossing, based in Philadelphia. He teaches graduate students at Northwestern University's Beenan School of Music. Donald Nally has been nominated 3 times for the Grammy Award for Best Choral Performance, winning in 2018 and 2019. He has won numerous other awards and is recognized as one of the leading commissioners of new music in the United States. Well, Donald, welcome once again. It's great to have you here. And this is your second time, you tell me. I thought it was the third, but I believe you.
I think it's the second. I have this very strong memory of sitting at this very desk.
Oh, okay. Well,
it's great to be back.
Oh, well, thank you. That's the easy way to finish the discussion, I guess. Well, how and when did The Crossing begin?
Well, we started in 2005. We were a group of friends who had sung together in Philadelphia for quite some time. And then I moved to Wales, and a bunch of them scattered across the country, and we happened to be having a conversation, said we really miss singing together and we should just do a concert, and we wanted to focus on new music. And so we did that, and we didn't really think it would have a life. It was just something to do that to please ourselves, actually.
Sure.
You know. And here we are. It developed from 1 year to the next. The next year we did 2 concerts, the next year we did 3, and then we said maybe we should make a brochure and do a season.
Sounds great.
It's been
great. You definitely have.
Yeah.
And so it always featured new music.
Yeah. In the first concert, it wasn't only new music, but after that, we said, you know, let's just do what we really want to do, which is both
new music.
Sing the stuff that's being written and inspire people to create stuff for us. Yes.
That's great. Well, that's wonderful. You may not be able to answer this, but knowing you, you probably can. How many new works have been written for The Crossing?
I don't know the exact
number. You see, I knew.
I know it's over 80.
Wow.
And they range from, you know, full 75-minute concert-length works to, you know, 5-minute works. All the Jeff quartets, which are the pieces that were written in memory of Jeff Dinsmore, my co-founder, who was here the last time I was here.
What a loss.
Yeah, that changed a lot of stuff about The Crossing.
Sure.
But we one of the silver linings is that we have 15 short works, one of them written by Kyle Smith, in fact, and all in memory of Jeff, and those are probably the shortest works that have been written for us.
Right. And is the ensemble, now you just don't do American music, you do all sorts of stuff.
We do. We really try to keep our, you know, finger on the pulse of what is going on in, more or less all through North America and Europe, although even then we've got our ears open for everything else.
Yeah, I mean, I remember the wonderful thing, work with Gavin Bryars.
Yes.
I remember that. And that won one of the Grammy Awards.
It did. It was the first Grammy, and it also, he has just completed, literally 2 days ago, I got an email from him, just completed a huge, like, magnum opus for us. It's about a 90-minute unaccompanied piece that we'll be premiering in October.
Oh, sounds very exciting.
Yeah.
Wow, that's great. Well, just to give people, I guess, Donald, a little more knowledge about you, let's go to your early years. I'm sure you're delighted to do that.
You think?
Well, were you always interested in vocal and choral music, or more specifically, new works?
I was. In high school, I was primarily an instrumentalist, so it was only like a senior in high school that I kind of went in the direction of voice, and then I started at college as a saxophone major, and I immediately switched because I knew I wanted to be a conductor, and I was pretty sure I wanted to be a conductor of voices.
And
at a pretty early age, I started investigating what was going on largely in Europe in terms of what new music was, but that didn't really come completely into focus. I mean, I had a whole other life in opera. And so, which is, you know,
was there
mostly
any,
not new music.
Was there any work or a group of works that you heard and say, gee, I want to do more with this type of stuff?
I would say that there was a work, which is odd because it's in a style that is maybe feels a little bit dated at this point. There's a piece called by Klaus Huber. It's called Job 19. And I did it on a graduate recital and then brought it to Philadelphia, and we also did it in Spoleto, Italy. I was I was course master at the Spoleto Festival there for a while. It's a kind of a pastiche in a post-Darmstadt kind of style, and you know, the brass players playing mouthpieces, and you know, singers hitting little rocks, and it's a very, it has this incredible doxology at the end of it, which is sort of aleatoric and a kind of like a pantonal thing.
Right.
And it was really, I found it very moving, and like was able to find an expressivity inside it that it's not the only piece, but if you ask me, like, that's one piece that I really went, wow, this is amazing.
I was just curious because you've spent so much time commissioning works and playing. Sometimes you ask a performer or a composer, whatever, what was the turning point when you said, I want to do this?
And that was long ago. That would be a piece that The Crossing wouldn't do because we tried to limit ourselves to the last 15 years, and that's a piece from the 70s. So
that's an old piece.
That's a really old piece.
That's funny when people talk about new music and you say, well, I'm doing a 21st century concert, recital, or show. Oh, 1998? Gosh, that's old.
Yeah, that's old, right. Yeah, and we joke about it all the time because we once did a concert in Philly with the Rolling Stones, and that's some of the oldest music that we had sung.
Wonderful. Magnificent. Well, we will be welcoming Kyle Smith, who's getting bored back there, in just a moment, or just several minutes, right after we hear another selection from The Ark in the Sky, dating from 2018. We hear there are not many songs in our performance. We hear, of course, The Crossing, and of course, Donald Nally is the conductor. You were just listening to another section from The Ark in the Sky, dating from 2018. And you heard There Are Not Many Songs. In our performance, you heard The Crossing, conducted by Donald Nally. Well, I want to take this opportunity now to welcome composer Kyle Smith, whose music we just heard. Welcome, Kyle.
Marvin, I can't thank you enough for
being here. We're
having
fun. Well, we're having fun. That's what it's all about. Let me just give you a little background about my guest. Composer Kyle Smith has gained national and international acclaim and has received many commissions from such ensembles as The Crossing, Westminster Choir College, Mendelssohn Club of Philadelphia, PFRO, Choral Arts Philadelphia, Cincinnati's Vocal Arts Ensemble, the Arcadian Trio, and many others. Kyle's work has been called like no other music by the Miami Herald and ecstatically beautiful by the Philadelphia Inquirer. He has received many grants and has been composer in residence for the Jupiter Symphony, the Church of the Holy Trinity in Philadelphia, and others. And once again, it's an honor to have you here.
No, it's my honor.
Thank you so much for coming, both of you. Before we discuss The Ark in the Sky, Kyle, briefly share with us, as Donald did, just a bit about your early experiences in music. What instrument did you play, and when did you decide you wanted to, get into composition?
Well, that's an easy answer.
Good.
The Brahms Requiem was decided me to become a composer. I was listening to, I'm from South Jersey, from Pensauken, and I was in the Allstate Choir. I've been singing in choirs all my life, so that answers that question about what I was doing as a performer. I'm not a trained singer, but an amateur singer. I've sung in choirs all my life, and was in Allstate. And my older sister and my brother had also been in Allstate. And they do their big concerts, and come out with an LP at that time.
An LP.
And
LPs are coming back. And
well,
they are back.
We were ahead of the curve. And my sister had done this piece by Brahms called Neni.
Oh, sure.
Which is just a downright beautiful piece. It's not known as much as his other works, but I went out to Sam Goody's because I wanted to find a commercial record of Neni. And the only one I could find was with Alto Rhapsody and then something called The German Requiem. So I bought, this was Ernest Ansermet.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I...
It's a two...
With the blue cover.
Yes, yes.
I remember it
and
well.
And so I bought that at Sam Goody's at the Cherry Hill Mall. And went home, and I played Neni over and over and over again. And I finally decided, I'll see what else is on here. So I put it on actually side one and dropped the needle and heard the beginning of the Brahms Requiem. And my life changed. It starts with those low strings. The violins don't come in the first movement. And it's just the whoom, whoom, whoom. And I thought, what is this?
Yeah.
My heart started beating, and against my chest, and I decided I want to write the Brahms Requiem.
My God.
You know, you don't say I want to be a composer. I want to write the next Brahms Requiem. So my life has been a failure since then, trying to write the next Brahms Requiem.
Well, you still have many years. It might come. It might come. Well, that brings me to another issue. Do you write mainly just vocal and choral music? I mean, you've done some other stuff, too.
Yeah. It's been funny. I've never planned this, but my very first love in composing was writing vocal music. And I wrote songs for my wife, who would become my wife, Jackie. It's a wonderful soprano, light lyric soprano. And I learned a lot about writing for the voice from writing for her.
Oh,
and so I wrote some of my very first things, and certainly some of the very first things that I've kept and haven't put through a ritual burning in the fireplace, are the ones that survived are songs. And then choral music. I've written lots of church anthems, so lots of pieces for choirs of all sorts of levels. And But there was a spate of symphonic music that I've written. I've got over 24 pieces for orchestra. So, I've written
so you have
lots of orchestral music and lots of things, chamber pieces. Yeah. I just finished a piece for piano trio within the last year, and so. But in the last number of years, the bulk of it would be choral. Yeah.
Right. Well, let's go now to the Ark in the Sky. Mm-hmm. Now, this 65-minute work for unaccompanied choir is in three large sections, each of which is in three movements. The text is by Robert Lax. Why don't you tell us a bit about him?
Yeah, Robert Lax is just a fantastic poet, and if anyone knows his name, they probably know of him through Thomas Merton. Merton mentions him throughout his book, The Seven Story Mountain, Merton's autobiography. But started looking into his poetry, and Jackie found him first and said,
"Oh, really?"
I said, "Kyle, you got to check this guy out." So I looked him up, and the real quick story is I got Robert Lax biography had just come out by Michael McGregor. And I got to meet Michael McGregor and talk to him about Robert Lax, who has passed away for a few years now, and got to know him a little better, read the biography, found all these poems. He is known mostly for his minimalist poetry, that is, and if you know the Ark in the Sky.
Yeah, I think I read that, yeah.
Yeah, you'll have one word or one syllable or one letter going down the column like that. But he writes other things too, but he was really one of the first poets to do that at all. Was had a very interesting life, including living by himself on a couple of Greek islands at the end of his life, and people would do pilgrimages to meet him.
Interesting.
A very, very spiritual person, very funny person, and his poetry just knocks me out.
Well, let's go back to the Ark in the Sky. The work is in three large sections, jazz, praise, and art. Share with us briefly, Kyle, about each of the large sections and your writing style for each. It seems to vary a little bit.
Those are the three big themes that I kind of took out of Robert Lax's life. Jazz actually was a big influence on him.
Yes,
I mean, he says that himself. And he and Thomas Merton, they went to Columbia University together in the 30s, and they would go to Harlem to jazz clubs. And that first piece that we heard, Why Did They All Shout, it refers to Louis Armstrong. And it was his reaction to seeing Louis Armstrong play, and I wanted to capture that ecstasy of seeing a live performance and someone who was just like the Superman, you know, at the top of his game.
Right.
And so the first three movements are about jazz, and I frankly just wallow in a kind of music that I'm in love with, and I grew up with it too, listening to recordings. So that's my pay-in to a type of jazz that I'm really in love with. And then praise also is touches on the religious. Not really religious, but
spiritual
and religious aspects of Robert Lax's beliefs, and a big part of his life. And then the Ark is the final. It ends with the image, the Ark in the Sky, which is, if you can picture, just kind of standing on the beach and looking at the sea and the sky, and it all hits you at once, like an anvil dropping on your head, the way that can happen sometimes. And I tried to bring that out in the music.
Right. Well, let's go now to another section from this. We are listening, actually, to selections from The Ark in the Sky by Kyle Smith, as recently released on a Navona Records label. Let us go now, Kyle, to I Want to Write a Book of Praise. Is there anything you would like to just say about this?
This is for just the men, and this opens the praise section, and it's really a manifesto of Robert Lax's. He wants to write a book of praise, but not use the religious words, is how he puts it. I love that. And it's really a chant with an antiphon, a chorus, if you will, that keeps coming back. and a unison chant. And the thing that really jazzes me, you know, I might say, about chant is that chant is so, so expressive if done well, and it's meant to be. And I tried to do that in this.
Well, let's hear it now. Donald Nally conducts The Crossing in this beautiful selection by Kyle Smith. You were just listening to I Want to Write a Book of Praise from The Ark in the Sky by Kyle Smith, as performed by The Crossing, conducted by Donald Nally, both of whom are my guests this morning on Classical Discoveries, and they will be here until 11 a.m. Before we get back to music, just a really quick thing. Do you prefer download CDs, LPs? I'm just curious to kind of share what you think about it, if anything.
Well, it's a balancing act for me as I think about it, because it's the one is the convenience of downloads, and but you really do lose a lot of the audio quality. You know, and especially, you know, that's something that interests me. I mean, I'm not an expert on that kind of stuff, but it's nice to be able to go through and on your computer, you know, find something and listen to it real quick. But the CD quality is markedly better. So
yeah, sure, you know. Sure. You agree with that?
Yeah, I think that you know, it's the world we live in, right? You know, so like that's how music gets accessed. So I don't think we're turning back from that. But on the other hand, you know, if we're not careful about it, we give up a lot because it's so compressed in order to be pushed to us that way. So I mean, it's there's advantages to both, and I'm not an audiophile, so I don't listen.
I get nervous if there's a major computer crash.
Oh, right. Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
You don't have everything backed up. That's the one thing that I worry about.
Right. Well, that assumes that you have a CD player, which
I do.
Which most people these days don't.
So. That's the interesting. Sometimes, you know, you'll ask people, you know, how do you have CDs? They'll say, what's that?
Yeah, and CDs can get corrupted too over
yeah,
time.
Yeah, that's true. So, that is true. That is true.
You know, it's not like with the old records. You could scratch them and stuff. They'll still play. You'll hear the pop. You know,
snap,
they'll still
crackle,
play.
Pop. Yeah, I mean, just, you know, it was just like kind of a little side thing.
Yeah.
But now let's go, Kyle, to your music again. The Ark in the Sky is your sixth commission from The Crossing. Way back in 2008, you were commissioned by another Philadelphia ensemble, Pifaro. The result of this commission were your Vespers. Now, what is exciting is that The Crossing joined the early music ensemble, Pifaro. This was an incredible collaboration, which was released back in 2008 by Navona Records, and I thought it would be fun to listen to a section from this work. Now, Donald, this was The Crossing's very first commercial recording.
Yes, it was.
So do you have any memories about that whole event?
Well, yeah, lots. I mean, first of all, Bob and Joan from Pifaro, I mean, it was so great that they came and said, we're commissioning this piece, and we want you to be the choir, and we were, you know, pretty new at all this, and then we were introduced to Kyle, and Kyle got to know our work and came to concerts. And
that kind of linked to more stuff eventually.
Well, he's written six pieces for us.
I know.
So it's been a long and really fruitful journey. But there was a lot of navigating. Pifaro and The Crossing operate quite differently. They've known each other for what? They're celebrating their 35th year. So they, you know, we yeah. at the time that we did this recording, we were, you know, I think we just finished our third season.
Yeah.
So which wasn't really even, we still weren't really calling them seasons, you know.
It was
a series of concerts, you know.
It was still the beginning.
So and so they're really familiar with each other, which we are too. I mean, we're friends, but they spend a lot of time kind of figuring things out in rehearsal, and we don't. Like, you know, we come in and go, like, do this, you know. And so it was really fun, like, figuring how to navigate that together and to get the piece together. And the recording, I think probably you and I are both thinking about, like, the most distinctive memory of the recording was The Great Storm. Because in the last session, we had one movement that we had to get done. That was the last session and the last movement. And we hadn't rehearsed it much, if at all, because you had rewritten it, right? That was the movement that you had
It was, yeah, a pretty involved chant and pretty involved counterpoint and lots of thick harmonies and changing meter. It
yeah.
was like, it was everything difficult was in that piece.
So we had, he had rewritten it somewhat, or at least rebarred it. For the recording, and so we were looking at some of this for the first time, and then this tremendous storm came up, and in the place that we were recording, you cannot record when there's wind and rain or thunder. It's just too loud, and so you're counting the minutes as the clock is going tick tick tick, and I'm going, you know, we're gonna get this done, It was it was hilarious.
You were great because the closer we got to deadline, and we lost about 45 minutes.
Oh, at least
out of the whole evening, and the closer, the more tense it got, the calmer you got, and I kept waiting for like some big explosion. Of course,
that never
happened. He just got calmer and calmer, and you finished it, and it was all in there.
Wow,
it was great. It was a magnum opus on your part.
Well, and the piece is a magnum opus, and it's really quite something. I mean, when you look at this, Kyle's first concert length piece for choir, let alone. Early instruments, but for choir, and all of the really complex counterpoint that lands on the ear with such ease. It's really quite something.
Very good. Well, let's hear Psalm 113 from Kyle Smith's Vespers. We hear members of Pifaro along with The Crossing, conducted by Donald Nally.
Ooh.
You were just listening to Psalm 113 from Vespers by Kyle Smith, as performed by members of Pifaro, the Renaissance Band, along with The Crossing, conducted by Donald Nally. Music of Kyle Smith once again here on WPRB's Classical Discoveries program, and I will be back in just seconds with more conversation and music featuring Kyle Smith and Donald Nally.
Did you know that you can donate your car to WPRB? We are now partnering with CARS, Charitable Adult Rides and Services, a nonprofit car donation center. A portion of the proceeds from your tax-deductible car donation will go to WPRB. The process is simple. Call 855-500-RIDE, and CARS will arrange the rest, including pickup. Again, that's 855-500-7433. You can also visit them on the web at careasy.org and search for WPRB.
Well, we are going back to Donald Nally, but we will be back in a few moments also to Kyle Smith. Donald, why don't you share us a bit about your upcoming season with The Crossing?
Well,
we are about
to get on an airplane and head to Helsinki. And so our season actually starts in Finland, where we are mounting a reproduction of Anyara, which was this huge project that we did, a collaboration with a Helsinki theater company. It opened in Philadelphia in June, and then we took it to the Netherlands in July. So we'll be there for 2 weeks, and then we come back, and we right away turn to this big piece of Gavin Bryars, which I mentioned earlier.
Yes.
Everything we do is text-driven, so those texts that Gavin has said are all by Wendell Berry from an essay he wrote called A Native Hill. It's really about our relationship with the earth and the curatorial aspect of our relationship. It's very beautiful, rural life. And that is balanced in December with a new piece of Edie Hill, who I think we're going to listen to in a little bit.
A little later.
Yeah. And Edie's become a really good friend of The Crossing, and we've recorded a lot of her music, so we decided it's time for us to have a piece written just for us. So she's writing a big piece. It's going to be at least half hour, and it's all based on Holly Hughes' poems from her book Passings about birds that have recently gone extinct.
And when is that going to be?
That is mid-December.
Oh, okay. Yep. And it will be here, around here?
It will be in Philadelphia, downtown at Holy Church of the Holy Trinity, out in Chestnut Hill at our home, the Presbyterian Church of Chestnut Hill. And then we'll also do two performances on Saturday. I can't remember the dates, but it's Saturday, like the 18th or something, 19th. And that's up at the Cloisters, the Met Cloisters in New York.
Sure. I remember it well. Yeah. In fact, one of my earliest dates with my wife was up there.
Oh, really? At the Cloisters?
Up there, that's right. And she's one of the people that was singing as part of it, was an early music thing, was James Bowman.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, so when you mentioned the Cloisters, it brings back memories.
Well, we have a long relationship. In fact, I think the first time I was on your show was the first season that we were at the Metropolitan Museum. And so it's been a long history with them, and we have never been at the Cloisters before, so we're really excited about it.
Oh, this is great.
And all that information, I just want to say, since I don't have the dates in my head, is at crossingchoir.org.
Oh, okay. That was my next question. Yes, crossingchoir.org.
Crossingchoir.org.
Mm-hmm. Very, very good. And since we are discussing websites, Kyle, it's your turn.
I'm a dot com. And not
just
dot
go to
org.
Dot com and Kyle will appear.
That's I'm there
in person.
Kyle Smith, Kyle with an I, kylesmith.com. That's where all my stuff is. More than you would ever want to know about me.
Well, that's great. That's great. Well, before we go back to The Crossing, Kyle, this is kind of a side topic, which I think is a very interesting one, because this has to do with how we met.
Oh, yeah.
And I think this is a one of, because also it relates to the interest I have in one of Henry Cow, who is one of my favorite American composers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So how do you remember that whole, how long was that? That was a good 15 years
ago. Well, in one of my previous lives, I was at the Fleischer Collection of Orchestral Music at the Free Library of Philadelphia. I was there for about 30 years, and the last 18 of that was, I was a curator. And you came in or you called,
no,
I think.
No, I think maybe I called first. That's interesting. I don't remember.
Yeah, and you were interested in Henry Cow. One of the great things of working at the Fleischer Collection was that I got to know all these people, people who knew lots of stuff. And so one of the greatest things about working there was making connections with people. And so you had... now I forget if we had we knew Henry Cowell's wife, Sidney Cowell. And she passed away, and I don't know if this is before or after she passed away, but we were in touch with her and with the Cowell estate, and you were asking questions about, so I put you in touch with H. Wiley Hitchcock.
That's right.
Who ended up being, I think, the executor of the estate.
I remember that very clearly.
And he's a big name in musicology circles. And I put you in touch with him, and he got you some music. And you played a world premiere. It was the Hymn and Fugue.
The Hymn and Fugue, number 6.
There you go.
Now, what was very interesting is that I was doing some research and notes, you know, for Henry Cowell's music. And what happened is that, this is long ago, in my research, I saw a Hymn and Fuguing tune, number 6, for solo piano.
Yeah.
And I said, oh my gosh, how I would love to get my hands on that. And thanks to your help, I did, and I actually premiered it.
Yeah, it's great. That's the kind of stuff that just made it so much fun to go into work, to be able to make those connections. And especially at the Fleischer Collection, we were all about, you know, exposing music to people, getting the music out there.
That was just so exciting. Yeah. And I remember when I did that the first time. And when I did it, you talk about weather and doing the recording of your piece.
Yeah.
When I did it, it was the end of March, and it was like sleeting and snowing and freezing rain, and I did that, but I ended up shortening the recital to let people go home.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny how the connection in a different way.
I love those memories, and that's how we first met. Though I'm not at the Fleischer Collection anymore, I'm still doing Fleischer Discoveries. I have a Discoveries in my name, but it's a podcast.
Right.
And I do it working with the curator is Garrett Galvan, and he wanted to keep it going, and so I'm still doing that. And,
well, that's exciting.
Yeah, love doing that.
That's wonderful.
Discovering new orchestral pieces.
That's wonderful. Well, that's an interesting side story. And we will be going back to the Ark in the Sky of Kyle Smith right after our next selection, which is by one of America's, I feel, gifted women composers. I am talking about Edie Hill. And let's go back, Donald, to you. The Crossing released an entire CD on the Navona Records label devoted to her music. There also a few selections came out on a recent Navona CD titled Evolutionary Spirits. Well, let's go to the full CD of her music titled Clay Jug. How did you get connected with Edie Hill?
Well, you know, we have this long history also with Parma and Navona Records. And so they were interested in making a CD of Edie's music and asked us if we'd like to do it. And I wasn't that familiar with that music, but I got, you know, became intimately familiar with it as a result of trying to decide whether we should do this or not. And it was so obvious that we should, because she's such a great balance between technique and real expressivity. I mean, it's just it's beautifully wrought, and it really carries a lot of content. So we love her music, and as I said, you know, we've now commissioned a big piece that's coming this December. And so yes, you're right. We've done this CD. We had the Evolutionary Spirits, which came out. It has a bunch of other composers on it.
Yeah.
But has this amazing piece, Poem for 2084, on it, which is an author writing to people in 2084 about the state of the Earth, and it's very beautiful. So I think we're going to listen to
Which one are we?
I think we're going to listen to Canción de El Alma, which is Saint John of the Cross. Poem, and it's like a kind of classic love poem that has, you know, spiritual underpinnings, like Song of Songs is supposed to have, and it's, you know, but it's very graphic about its calling out to the night, thanking the night for joining people together, looking at the light. It's really a very rich in imagery, and all constantly talking about like the darkness that guides and the night being friendlier than the dawn, and because it allows for the lover to be there. It's really quite beautiful, and it's a very extensive work. I mean, it's a great example of how through counterpoint she is able to extend a piece of music and really find her way in deeper and deeper into a text, I think.
Very good. Well, we listen to this composition of E.D. Hill as performed, of course, by The Crossing, and the conductor, of course, is Donald Malley.